I want to invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 2. I always feel a little bad when we have people that are visiting from out of town and show up with us, or visitors, or people that haven't been here for a while. Only bad in the sense that I always like to have everything concise for people, and I feel a little inconcise when I'm in the middle of something and you don't have any idea of the beginning or the endings. And I just like everything to flow for people when it comes to the Bible. So I'm always aware of my crowd. But what we're into today is we have been going through a study for a number of months now on the systematic study of how the Bible goes together. And we talked about how that the number 7 is the key to that. God does everything by sevens. In fact, the number 7 is God's perfect number. And you're going to find that probably over 890 times in the Old Testament alone, he does things by the number 7. And he created the earth in 6 days and rested on the 7th. All the animals went into the ark. The clean animals went in by 7. We got 7 years tribulation, Daniel 70. Everything's by sevens in the Bible. And that's God's way of breaking down the scriptures for you. And we have been coming through those for months now. And then when we finished the last study, what I began to show them is I wanted to show them how that the hardest book in the Bible, as far as man is concerned, the book of Revelation, the hardest book in the Bible as far as man's perception of it, I wanted to show them how easy of a book that it is if you just follow the same concept. And I showed them in an introduction how that the whole book of Revelation is just built around the number 7. We talked about all the multiple of sevens. And what we are doing now is coming through them in a systematic way, breaking down the book of Revelation. Now, we're glad that you're here today, and we're right in the middle of a study here on the 7 churches. And what I have done is, or what God has done really, is taken the book of Revelation and broken it down as far as the church age is concerned. It's broken it down into 7 sections. And each one of these sections represent a time in our history, starting with the book of Acts and running right up to, yes, even the time period that we're living today in 2006. It's all recorded for you with the main events of what's going on in history. Now, I told you a few moments ago that I'm having a lot of people call me for I've got a lot of marital problems coming in this last week. A lot of people that are calling me. I've got cases of depression that people are calling me with. Just a lot of things have come up in the last week, and this is all normal. And what I want to say to you is this. And I'm speaking now to a group here that has been here for a while. You younger Christians that just have come in the last 6 months or a year, my goal for you is to get you to the place where you can function this way. That's what we're all about here. We're not about just coming to church so we can, tickle your ears with something sweet and nice. No, we're here to build men and women that will take a stand for the Word of God and then will take their own lives and give it back to God as a living sacrifice to be used to help somebody else with a problem. There's never a person that comes in to see me. I got a lady right now that you're probably going to meet this next Thursday night. I think she's finally got enough courage to come to Thursday night Bible study. And this woman was struggling with depression for 28 years. But by the way, depression is my specialty. See? If I excel in anything, it's depression, because I was depressed most of my life, so I get to deal with it. See. But I love dealing with people with depression, because the secular world makes it like it's so hard. I mean, they diagnose you with all kinds of stuff. This woman was diagnosed. I mean, she was a walking psychiatrist dream. I mean, she was supposed to be bipolar. And the first thing her husband asked me, "Do you believe in bipolar?" I said, "Sure do." I said, "The earth's got a north pole and a south pole. It's bipolar. I have no problem with it whatsoever." See? And what I've done with this lady is basically what I'm trying to teach you. We've been meeting now for 10 weeks. And what the psychiatrist couldn't do, what the what the psychologist could not do. In fact, the last two psychiatrists just said, go somewhere else. You're beyond our help, see. Of course, they were getting $200 an hour, see. And what the psychiatrists have failed to do, the Word of God has done in just 10 short weeks. And last week was a pivotal point for her because she got the Bible. She got one book of the Bible, and it fell open to her. And I've talked to you, boy, it was like a hallelujah thing that night. And she's probably going to be here with her husband this Thursday night. I'm saying all that to say this. I got to have people help me with these people. And my whole goal is to get you ready. And I'm going to be calling on some of you. I'm going to tell you right up front, right now. I'm going to be calling on some of you to help me with all this. And it's a thing where that this is where we're at. Now, I know the first thing you're probably thinking here, what in the world is the book of Revelation and what is the concept of church history where we're in right now have to do with a lady that's depressed? It's simply this, folks. You have to get the basics down in everything in life before you can function with the Word of God. If you're going to deal with life's issues, then I'm not interested in just giving you a couple of scriptural verses on a, you know, on a little play card and having you go out and do your magic. You're going to have to know what the Bible says. I've told you before, I'm not interested in teaching people and raising up Christians that just know a lot of things about the Bible. I want you to know the Bible. And the concept of you learning and understanding how it all goes together. The reason why people's lives break down is because the church is broke down. The reason why the church is broke down is because America's broke down. Or maybe vice versa, however you want to put it. And the reason why, the whole thing comes back to this thing right here. And what we're studying right now and right in the middle of is why it is so messed up today. And if you don't know how the thing got broke, you're not going to know how to fix it. And you have got to be able to learn to use this material. And this is why I take you, and you know my philosophy of ministry. I've told you the number one aspect of ministry for me in a church as you grow up is simply this. And it's to me, it's the number one principle by which ministry is successful or unsuccessful. When you will come into this church, most of you know very little about the Bible. Some of you know more than others. Through the process of growth, God wants to get you to the place in your life where we see and understand how all of this stuff works. The principle is simply this. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, the problem is that every time you hear that verse today, it's misquoted. And here's what you hear. You hear this. You hear that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. In fact, in all your new translations of the Bible, it takes out which and it puts in who. Because we are under the assumption today and we are under the idea today that when you get saved, here's how it works. We're under the idea today that when you get saved and I get saved, then how we function is this. You start coming to church, and then, you know, as you pay your dues, coming to church, and you keep coming, and you keep being faithful and showing up, that someplace along the line, 5, 10, 15 years from now, God is just going to, while you're sleeping, it'll happen. He'll back up the great gospel knowledge dump truck that drives around the streets of heaven. It's a gold dump truck. And he will tilt the bed of that, and while you're sleeping, cascading down on your brain will be all this spiritual stuff that you need to have to really become a mature Christian. That's, in essence, and I'm obviously being facetious here, but that's the mindset of most of God's people. That's not how it works. You never become spiritual by just going to church. I'll tell you something else. You never become spiritual by just reading your Bible. I guess if there's any two concepts that are totally misused today and misapplied today, it's those two. You don't become spiritual by going to church, and you don't become spiritual by reading your Bible. In the book of Proverbs, and I love the book of Proverbs. I was telling this lady the other night when she was over there. I was telling the lady, I said, you know what? The book of Proverbs is the one book that if I could get in my mind and my heart, if there's one book that I could really get down in my life that I could have 100% total recall, it would be the book of Proverbs. Because the book of Proverbs, as far as I am concerned, is the book that lays out all the issues of life. I have never found a situation in somebody's life, saved or unsaved, that the principle involved wasn't the book of Proverbs. You know what I believe? I believe the book of Proverbs is a book that lays out the issues of life and the principles of life in word form. And then I believe that every other story in the Bible, every other circumstance in the Bible, every other character or lifestyle that's laid out in the Bible, I believe is nothing more than a playing out of that great principle. I believe that God tells us about the issues of life. Somebody asked me one time, why does the Bible talk about so many dirty things? My own mother asked me that a number of years ago when she was questioning my studying the Bible. She said, why does the Bible talk about incest? That's such a terrible thing. Why does the Bible talk about adultery or talk about murder? Why does the Bible put so much emphasis on those things? And the reason why that it does is because the Bible is the only honest book you're going to find in this world that deals with the issues of life the way they really are. You know what the Bible does? The Bible shows you what's wrong with man, and then the Bible shows you how man can fix what's wrong with him. Then it shows man what to do to keep it fixed the rest of his life. And when you get saved, you don't just come to church and you don't just show up and you don't just read your Bible and someday you become spiritual. When the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, here's what he's talking about. It says, I can do all things through Christ. This is the book of Philippians, by the way. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, the key point is, it's not Christ that strengthens you. Now, the new theology today is that it is Christ, so therefore they take out the which and they put in the who, making Christ the one that strengthens you. No, that's not the way it works. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. It's not Christ that strengthens you. It's the things that you begin to do for Christ that Christ takes in your life and strengthens you. That's why some of you are ready to step out into the next realm of things and help me. This is my goal ultimately. By the way, our website is up today and should be fully functioning by today. The front page is up. It looks great. You can get the how to use it. And you said that all the books of the Bible are up and you can download those. But you can start getting into it already, and we've done that because there's people around the country and around the world that want to get this material that are half waiting for the CDs to come, and bottom line is now they can just download it and get whatever they want, and we're going to update it every week so you can get it on a weekly basis, and it'll be good to go probably by the end of this week. It's been a good process, but Kyle has done a great job with it, and I appreciate the all the labors that he's put into that, and it's just going to be a great thing. But you know what? My next project, Kyle, is simply this. And we're not ready to do this yet. My next goal project is to put a website up that has to do with the issues of life in a counseling situation where anybody in this city can go online and find out how to get the help that they really need to solve life's problems. Now, I know that that is the key to reaching Kansas City. I know that. I know that. I know that as well as I'm standing here. I know the key to reaching Kansas City is that. Years and years ago, I learned a great lesson, and that is this. Every culture has its issues. And if you want to penetrate the culture with the gospel, you find out what that particular issue is. Now, if you would go down to, we've got a missionary down in South America, and he's got that little orphanage down there. And we're basically helping him with all that we can do. And their need down there is for Bibles, that basic. Clothing, that basic, see? Their need down there is for the basic things in life as they get the Bible taught to them. That's what they need. So if you're going to that part of the world, or Africa, or South America, or Central America, wherever, you identify the need, you see, and then you take the Word of God and you reach that culture through that need with the Word of God. That's what we're helping him do. I don't know about you. I can't stand the thought. Maybe you can. Maybe you're cold. Maybe you're callous. Maybe you're all about yourself. I don't know. I can't stand the thought of some little kid wanting to have a Bible but not having the money to buy a Bible. I can't deal with that. Not when I got 28 of them sitting at home. See? I can't deal with that. I just can't. But that's the need. They don't want a Pac-Man. They don't want a robo-reptile. I do, but they don't. They don't want a robo-reptile, see? All they want is a Bible. All they want is a copy of God's Word that they know is truth. So a missionary takes that concept, he sees what the need is, and he takes the gospel through that need. Now in America, that's not the need in America. In Central America, South America, that's not the need. If you went to Europe, that wasn't a need. It's another whole culture. America is its own brand of culture. America has a completely different set of needs than they do in other parts of the world. The problem that most pastors make, and the problem that most churches make, is they never see what that need really is, so therefore they never really get into it as far as trying to meet that need. Now in America, America's need is simply this. America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. It's just that simple. America, their families, marriages are busted, broken, and it's the number one country in this world monetarily, with all the physical things, with all of the things that we have, all of the theme parks, all of the NASCAR, all of the golf games, everything that America has. It doesn't have the one essential thing that it needs, and that is the stability in its very fabric of families and marriages. And America is absolutely busted and shattered. So, you want to build a church, ladies and gentlemen? Is that what we're going to do at Old Paths Baptist Church? Really? Well, let me tell you how you build a church. You find out what that need is. And then you take the Word of God and you identify that need and open a door to that need and that culture, and God will bring them in. Hey, if I put a website up tomorrow, talking about biblical counseling, talking about getting the answers to your problem, I would never get back to teaching Thursday night Bible study. I would be overwhelmed and swamped. I'm getting them coming in just by word of mouth when I haven't even cracked a thing on the website. Now, if that's the way we have to do it, and we want to really reach Kansas City as our base for missions and ministry, why am I not doing that? I'll tell you why I'm not, and it's real simple. Because I don't have the people to help me do with what I got to do. Some of you are coming along, and some of you, you're going to have to step out by faith. And you're going to have to, if you want to take this thing seriously, I've taken a handful of you and worked with you as far as ministry is concerned and leadership is concerned, and I have no complaints. You're coming along. I know I'm going to put some of you into situations that maybe you're not quite ready to step into, but I got to tell you this. And obviously, if you feel like you can't do that or you don't want to do it, please, you know, no problem, I understand. But here's the bottom line. You are never going to grow spiritually unless you begin to do something for Christ. It's an illusion in your mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that you're simply going to come to church and occupy the seat that you're in today, drop your tithe in or whatever you do and just simply come and then leave with a bunch of CDs and a bunch of notes and a King James 1611 Bible under your arm if you are not going to let God use you and grow you. This thing in time will turn into a nice big theme park. And when it does, I'm out of here. I'm not building any more theme parks. I want men and women that want to do something and reach people's lives. That's what it takes. That's why you're here. That's why you supposedly learn everything that you can. That's why I meet with you one-on-one. It isn't so we can just punch your spiritual time card. You have some, and some of you in here, that there isn't a person I haven't dealt with that has come into me with a problem. This lady that comes over on Tuesday night, she wanted to pay me. And I told her, I said, you know what, just keep your money. I'll tell you what I want from you. Here's what I want from you. I want you to learn by this and grow by this, and I want you to become a student of the Word of God, and what you can do to pay me back is someplace down the line, let me call you on the phone and say, hey, I got a gal over here that had the same problem you got. Take her through what I took you through and bring her through the other side. That's how you repay. We can't pay back what God gave us. What price tag do we put on that book or what Christ did on the cross? There's no price tag. What do we do with that? There's only one thing you do. You make an investment. You take what God has given to you. Instead of giving back money, you give back the true riches. But too many pastors, too many churches, all they want is the money, and they never get to the true riches. Hey, Mikey, you know what Mikey wants to do? Mikey's going to jail. We're going to need a lawyer. Now, I love Mikey, and Mikey's my man, but Mikey's going to wind up in jail. You have his bar card, or you have his number, you need to get it, okay? Mm-hmm. Call him first. You only get one phone call.
Right.
Call me, I'll call him.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay,
but Mikey's going to jail, because Mikey can't keep his mouth shut. But Mikey's got some good things to say. Mikey's going to get a big banner, put it across 350 Highway that says, the Laodicean church period. The coffee's hot, but the Bible's not. That'll get you about 20 days, son. But it's true. It's true. The big thing in churches today is a Starbucks. See? Why? Because the coffee's hot, but the Bible's not. That's exactly right. But saying that or emulating that is going to get you in trouble. But we'll get you out. We'll bail you out. No. But the bottom line is this. It doesn't happen that way. You got to grow. And you got to grow by starting out and doing wherever you're at what God has wanted you. Principle number one in training men and women is getting you to do something. Because that's the only way that God gets you to stretch your senses, exercise your senses, and then God takes you what you do, and then he divides it from there. Ah, the second principle. You heard me say this a million times. Second principle is found in Matthew chapter 25, Luke chapter 10, a number of places. It's this principle. He says this. If you're faithful in the little things, I'll make you ruler over many things. You see, that's the process. That's the process. The process is when God begins to give you something to do, is faithfulness in it. Faithfulness in whatever it is. You had done a study on it, and somebody else, we were doing a study on. Oh, Mary and I were doing a study on it when he came over, but the mighty men of valor back in there in Kings, and what a great study that is. Now, the mighty men of valor in your Bible is this. The mighty men of valor in your Bible are men that David, type of Christ, and they were mighty men of valor that were over the other men of the nation of Israel. These men are called the mighty men of valor because they distinguished themselves with valor in combat. And he gives you a reading and a listing of some of them. And they're incredible. In fact, some of them are hard to believe. You got one of those guys down there that he, by himself, one guy, he kills 800 men. No, that's, I got to tell you, that's hard for me to believe. But I believe it. See? Another guy over there, he goes down and he kills a guy whose staff is like a weaver's beam. Now, I don't know if you know what a weaver's beam is, but that's about a 12 by 12. Now, this guy was so big that his staff of his spear was 12 by 12. And this one guy goes down there and just lays him out. Of course, we got the story of David going down and fighting Goliath. But in there, you're going to find, and it's a great study. Now, when we think of mighty men of valor, we think that they're fighting for real causes that are, you know, that would be like us today, you know, going out and preaching on the street or going out here and doing this and going down here and doing that and some great thing, see? I mean, who doesn't like to preach? You see, and I know you guys, when you grow up, it's a natural thing. You want to preach, you want to do this, you want to be a captain of volleyball, you want to do this, you want to do the things. But you know what? When I came down through that mighty men of valor, some of them fought and defended cities. One of them defended Jerusalem. Wow, that's a big deal. Another one went down and he defended something else. But you know what? The thing that struck me is that one guy who went down and all he defended, was a bean field. Now, what's the big deal about a bean field? Let me tell you something. If I saw a big guy about 14 foot tall with a staff of weed being one of my bean fields, I'd say, hey, you know what? You can have all the beans you want, pal. No problem, see? I mean, there are things to die for in life as a Christian. I'm not sure a bean field is one of them. But this guy was willing to stand and fight and take this guy down for a bean field. You know what I learned from that? Whatever job God has called you to do is just as important as the big ones. Whether it be preaching somewhere or a bean field. See? Now I'm telling you all this because I'm seeing it and I want to get to the point. I want to get to the point where we get that website up. But I got to say very frankly, some of you need to get your head out of wherever it's at and figure out if you're going to really serve God or you're just going along for the ride. Now, I don't mean that. I know we got a lot of young Christians here and you're finding things out in life. Hey, I'm not against that. What I'm saying is this. Friend, there's a judgment seat of Christ coming and you're going to stand before God not based on what you did do or what you didn't do, but what you could have found out that God wanted you to do, but you simply chose not to do. And I'm going to be guilty of a lot of things at the judgment seat of Christ and I don't expect much at all. But I do know this. I know one thing I am not going to be guilty of is you're not going to stand there and point your finger at me and said, you mealy-mouthed me around in the pulpit and you told all these nice, loving, warm stories and you extracted all kinds of accolades out of me, but you never told me the truth. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And I know this church isn't for everybody. Never pretend that it was. I like the guy that said on the radio, you don't like my station? Turn it to another station. But I know this, ladies and gentlemen. If we're going to build a church, it's going to be built on two concepts. The first concept is going to be that you're not going to become spiritual by just sitting here. You're going to have to start taking what God gives you in your life, and you're going to have to do something with it. And you're going to have to let God exercise that and stretch that and bring it to the place that God really uses you in everything that He wants to do. That's what it's going to take. Second thing is going to take faithfulness. You're going to have to be faithful in the little things that God gives you, or it is an illusion that you're going to be faithful in the big things. It's just that simple. When I look at you, when I watch your spiritual growth, when I watch where you're at spiritually, I look at two things. I look at it, what you're doing and how faithful are in it of what you're doing. And I don't look at the big things. I never do. The big things mean nothing to me. The big things are where the great chandeliers of life are. I'm not interested in the great chandeliers in this ministry. I'm interested in light bulbs on the back porch. I'm interested in men and women who will do whatever nobody else wants to do. Because that's where you start. That's where your faithfulness to God in ministry is born. That's how I know that when you get down the line someplace and you're touching somebody's life with the Word of God, I know I can trust you there because I could trust you in the bean field. Now, folks, life is just that simple. And the ministry is even more simple. The ministry is nothing more than you and I coming to a common agreement that we understand that God saved us for a purpose and for a reason. And what we are to do, and I know that as I say this, I look at you and I look at everybody here in different levels of spiritual growth. I look at some of you that have just come in the last 6 months and you love what you have here, and I have no doubt in my mind, and please, don't take what I'm saying today to you. Oh, I mean, take what you can get out of it, but don't think that I give everybody first 5 years of your life since you've been saved, you've got a clear pass with me because it takes you that long to figure it out. See? So I look when you come in here and you're trying to figure it all out, hey, I'll give you all the help in the world. See? But there comes a point in your life when you start to begin for God to use you. And there's so many examples of this in the Bible. So many examples. You ever notice that David was faithful in keeping the sheep before he was faithful killing Goliath? You ever catch that? I can't think of a more boring job in the world than to be a little shepherd boy out there with nobody looking, nobody watching, and your own brothers giving you a tough time about it and thinking you were the runt of the litter. I can't think of anything more worthless in life than that. But that's what prepared him. It was the faithfulness over that flock of his father's that prepared him to take on Goliath. Because if he would have never done it back there, he would have never done it over there. That's how it works. Ministry's not hard to understand. It's just hard to do. Greatest key of ministry is faith. Nothing will reveal your spiritual immaturity. Nothing will show what you really are when it comes to God more than your inability to be faithful. The Marine Corps, without a doubt, probably, and I know that the branches argue back and forth, I was in the Army and we didn't like the Marines and they didn't like us, and the Army and the Air Force and the Navy, they all have their rivals. I know that. But the bottom line is this. You know what? If you can have your little rivals all you want, but at the end of the day, you know what? The Marines are still the Marines. Their training was always tougher. Their assignments were always tougher. I mean, let's just face it. When it came to the Pacific, they were the first ones in. They took the beachhead and they turned it over to the Army. I was in the Army. I don't like that, but that's the way it is. Now, the Army had their own group. I'm not just fighting that. But the bottom line is, the Marines are the Marines. But you know what? One thing about them that I think sets them apart is a concept that's in their globe and anchor. It's that little Latin word called semper fidelis. You know what it means? Always faithful. Always faithful. Always faithful. If there's any term that needs to be applied to God's people when it comes to the ministry, and let's face it, there's a lot of things that get your eyes off the ministry. You all got jobs. Most of you have husbands and kids. And let's face it, most of you and your husbands aren't balancing it out the way you should. Well, we you know what, that just takes time. Some of you, you'll never make it, bless your hearts. I don't know what to tell you. But it's one of those things where you're just, there's a lot of issues out there. The devil throws a lot of sideballs at you. But you've got to come to realize that you have a mission and you have a task that God saved you for. And the only thing that's going to get you there is always being faithful. And when you take the little things that God gives you and you start those things, it'll get you to the big places. Hey, I'm going to tell you. And I told you before, it's up to you. This is not my church. This is your church. We'll take it to whatever level you want. And then if I get bored and you don't want to go any higher, then I'll go someplace else and start over again. I've done it 3 times now. I know it can be done. In fact, it's getting old hat. But I know what happens. You see, I know the danger of what you get here. I know the danger of coming Thursday night and coming Sunday morning and coming over and asking what any questions you want to ask and just getting anything you want. I know the danger of that. The danger is you put a lot of spiritual weight. I don't ever give you any fat teaching that I don't expect you to run it off during the week. I don't ever prepare a fat dinner for you when you come on Sunday morning that is way over balance on calories, that I don't expect you to run it off throughout the week. See? You're all like sponges. You ever have a sponge? Go home and take a sponge out of that thing, throw up a bucket of water, put that sponge in there. Watch how it picks up the water till it gets so saturated that it can't pick up anymore. Then you know what you got? You got a big, wet, nasty blob. You know what most of God's people are? They're big, wet, nasty blob. They've absorbed so much, but if you want to use that sponge again, you got to wring it out. Well, we're great absorbers. We just don't like to wring it out. You see, I can't get to this time of year knowing that there's hundreds of thousands of people out there that are just absolutely waiting for somebody with the truth to show up and know that I don't have more people ready to do it. That just bothers me to death. It really does. But I'm going to tell you the truth. If you think I will put people in ministry just so we can say we do ministry without doing it by the book, you're crazy. You're nuts. It won't happen. It'll never happen. Because I know this. You see, you may not have learned this yet, but I have learned this. Taking a shortcut in spirituality may pay off on the short end. It only comes back to bite you on the long end. Now, some of you haven't been around long enough to figure that out. I have, and I've seen it in action, and I am not interested. You don't do it by the book now, you won't do it by the book then. You're not faithful in the little things now, you won't be faithful then. In your mind, it may be an illusion. In your mind, you may think, well, I can. In my mind, I think, you know what? I'm not interested in what you think you can do. I know how the principles work. And the principle is simple. If you don't do the work now, and you don't let him stretch you, and you're not faithful in what he gives you to do, you'll never get to the place down here. And I don't care. You know what? Forget the message this morning. I ain't going to make it. But I don't care. Because what's another message if we're not willing to apply it to do what we need to do? Really? What good is it now to walk me you through Pergamos? Tickle your ears one more time when there's 100,000 people out there that want help and what? Now, and again, I know some of you are just starting out. I know that. I'm not fighting it. But I'm saying this. If you want to get to that point, I want to get to that point. Maybe it's unrealistic right now in this group. We got, 130, 140 people that we can ever do that. I know with any church, only 10% going to really cut it. The rest of it's going along for a ride. I know that. But you know what? I don't feel that about this group. I think God put a special group together and keep bringing special people in together. Oh, I know we got our idiots. But you know what? Wherever you got light, you got bugs. I don't know what to tell you. That just comes with the territory. You're always going to have them. You're always going to have them to call you up at 6 o'clock in the morning and saying, Brother Bob, where's everybody at? And I said, well, what do you mean where everybody's at? Well, you said the activity was going to start at 6:30 and it's 6:15 and there ain't nobody here. I said, that's 6:30 at night, not 6:30 in the morning. Think it doesn't happen? Sure it happens. Kidding me? You're always going to have that. You're always going to. I don't know what else to tell you. But that's just the way it is. Love them too. Now, we don't have anybody here like that, but I've had them in my life. And that's what I'm saying. You know what? You got people that float in and float out, and I'll tell you. That's why I hesitated so long putting the sign out front. I got a buddy that pastors the church up there in Lee Summit, a good friend of mine. Love him in the Lord. And he's got a nice church. Building. I'm a nice church people too. He's got a nice church. And he's a good man. He's got a church that we'd all kill for if you'd see it. Right on up. You talk about a prime location corner. Woo! He got a sign out front. That guy'll get 10, 15, 20 people a week just stop in and come to his church because they see the sign out there. Now you think that's good. See? You think that's good. That's what you want. See? Now maybe there was a time that's true. Maybe there's a time that was true. That ain't true anymore. Because He tells me now that, and I knew this was true, what you got is when people drive by and look for a church building. Now, I'm not saying it's true all the time. I mean, we got Matt and Shelby that way. You saw the sign out, didn't you, Matt? I got to tell you this, Matt. You're the only ones that ever were worth anything that saw the sign out front. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We've had some real bed bugs come in. You were the best one. In fact, I'm tearing the sign down after you're here now. I know now God had it up to get you and her here. After hearing her sing, sign's going down this afternoon, see? You're worth the gold, man. You were worth it. Cost $600 to put that sign up. You know what? You were worth every penny of it, see? We're taking it down now. No more needed. We got what we wanted out of it. The signs are coming with purpose, tear it down. But I never, but everybody else, they came in. They were mad at somebody else, some other church, got their nose bent in a joint, so came in here, see? We had a church in town here that used to run 3,000 people. It's done around 1,500 now. They had a big church split. And a buddy of mine church around on Lee Summit, not this guy, the other guy. You know what? I'll show you what goes on. They all got mad there. About 400 of them went up to this guy's church. All 400 of them. They had a guy that was in charge of the delegation. They walked into this pastor's church and says, "We're thinking about coming to your church." Now, what pastor who's running about, 300? And you got 400 people sitting out there in the cars saying, "We want to..." Now, who wouldn't want that deal? Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't look at that and say, "Now, that's what I'm talking about," see? Who wouldn't want that? I mean, come on. Who wouldn't be a pastor? You got 300 people, and your guy walks in and says, "Hey, I represent 400 people of so-and-so church. We just got mad. We're looking for a church. We're all going to come here." Whoa. I'd say, "Honey, I am going to be home late tonight. God's got something going on here." Who wouldn't want that? I wouldn't. Hey, it never comes that way without a condition and a string. You know what the string was? We got 400 people. We're mad at so-and-so. We want to come here. Only one thing you got to do. You can't bring up the issue of the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. Know what that pastor did? He said, "I won't bring it up at all. Come on in." And he went from 400 to 700 overnight. 400 to 700 overnight. Boy, that's a deal. He'll win the ring about the fastest growing church in Missouri next year. No question about it. And that boy just went overnight from 300 to 700 and went at the judgment seat of Christ from a nice righteous robe to a Speedo. I'm telling you, that's not how you build it. Most people today are just looking for a church or mad because where they came from last time they didn't get what they want or they couldn't control it, so they want to come in and see. Not everybody. Not everybody. Obviously not everybody. Not everybody. And I'm willing. I'm obviously not going to take the sign down, but my point is this. We started out 3 years ago with 22 people. And other than Matt and Shelley, nobody's come because of that sign. You know how they came? They came because somebody else won somebody else to Christ or saw somebody looking for the truth. And it was like one beggar sharing his bread with another beggar who was hungry and said, "Let me show you where we can go eat." That's how you build a church. You don't build it fast that way. You don't build it slick that way. But you build it right that way. And then you take those men and those women who are looking for the truth. And that's why, you know, you take the cream of the crop, as far as I'm concerned. You take them, you're going to have your problems. It's just part of it. But you know what? The problems aren't overwhelming. They're nothing you can't deal with. But what you do is you begin to take and you begin to work and you begin to take the ones that are serious and you begin to build it along the lines. And then you get you discipled. Very frankly, some of you need to be discipled. Some of you have been here long enough now, you need to get discipled. Some of you that have already been discipled or you're past that point in your spiritual life, you know what? You need to get into another level. You need to start taking and being faithful with what God gives you in the little things. Hey, I'm telling you, they're out there. And it breaks my heart every year at Christmas. I look at these two families, and I know that probably, by the grace of God, we're going to be able to have a long-term relationship with these families and doing something. But then I look around and said, now, who am I going to put? A lot of the ones I already have, I feel bad about this because I got you already so overburdened. Some of you I got working with four or five people, I feel bad about that. I really do. I really, really do. I really do. I really do, but I don't know what else to do. And that's why I'm not putting up a website. I'm not putting up a website because I'm not going to overload this place when I don't have the people that have stepped up to the plate that are willing to be faithful over the little things. See? And again, just let me say it one more time. Please don't insult my intelligence. Don't tell me you're going to be really good with a marriage counseling situation. Please don't tell me you're really going to be good at doing this when you can't even be faithful down there in that nursery. Please don't insult my intelligence with that. Will you please just not do that? Don't tell me you're going to really be good when you can't make your ushers meetings out here with your guys. Please, you know, go sell that someplace else. I don't work by that principle. I am not that stupid. Maybe you are. I don't know. If you think that you can just not do the little things and then strut into the big things, you'll screw up this thing faster than anything else. You know what? No, thank you. No, thank you. I'll stick with what I have. If I have to cancel Thursday night Bible study to take another night to counsel, then I'll do it. I don't care. But some of you are going to have to understand that it's time to look at this thing and take it seriously. It's time to grow up spiritually. It's time to begin to take this thing and look at it for what it really is and ask yourself, why am I here? What am I going to accomplish? Is my job to build the greatest business that I'm in? Is my job to further my career to the point? Is my job this or my job that? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know. But it's your choice. You see, it's your choice. But I know they're waiting out there. And I do everything I know how to do to get you focused on that point where you got to say, you know what? But I'm telling you what, until you get the concept that until you're faithful over the little things, you'll never make you rule over the many, you are wasting your time. Because that's where it starts. And that's what's going to make it work. Hey, next year, I'd like to have that website up and running. I'd like to have 20 or 30 of you that could handle two people a week. Man, if we got husbands and wives, that'd be 120 people. 120 people. I could fire that website up. But you see, I'm not going to put it in with you when you can't even figure out what's going on in your own life. I'm not going to do that when I can't trust you to do the most basic things. See? I mean, I'm just not going to do it. If we're not going to do this the way that it needs to be done, then let's don't do it. But that's how it has to start. And you have to decide if this is your church. If it's not your church, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But if this is where you call yourself your spiritual home, the bottom line is this. Wherever you're at, whatever level, you need to have a goal. And that goal is to get to the point. Whatever problem you're struggling with, and I don't care. There's never a problem that you'll have that if you do what the Bible says and you follow the principles, you can't get past it. And then you take it and you help somebody else with it. That's the plan. That's the plan. That's the way God designed it. And that's what we have to do. Now, you need to think about this. You really do. Because I don't want to have to say no to somebody on the phone. I don't want to have to say, well, call this guy. I don't want to have to do that. But at the same time, I am not going to put him with somebody who I don't trust. It's just that simple. It's that simple. When I give you something to do and then you drop the ball and you don't do it, hit the road, man. Hit the road. Hit the road. I can't use that. I can't. Don't tell me you're sorry. Don't tell me it'll never happen. I can't. This is life and death situation. This is people dying and going to heaven or going to hell based on your care level. And you being able to sort out your busy little life and giving a little bit to God while you got everything else you're going to do yourself. See? This is where we're at. I really got burdened this week. I don't know how to tell you. I got four phone calls with people that said, hey, I really need to come and talk to you. My wife and I are having some severe problems. And I just said, yeah, you betcha. And I booked them all this week. And then the rest of the week, I thought about, now, who am I going to give these people to? Who am I going to give them to? Well, I can't give them to him and her. I already got them working with four people. I can't do that to them. They got their family. Who am I going to give them to? Well, I'm not sure they're ready yet. You see? See where you're at? Now, I'm just telling you, every once in a while we need to have one of these. And if you're a visitor here this morning, I'm sorry you fell in a day where it's a come to Jesus meeting, but I don't know what else to tell you. We have to decide what we're going to do. Have to decide. And we're either going to reach people and do with them what the Word of God says, or we're not. But you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to get past your own problems. Deal with them biblically. It may be you have to make some hard line decisions. You know what? Stand up and do it. And then get in a book and then go from there. And let God bring you to the point by, one, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and then being faithful in the little things that God gives you. Now, I'm finished. I'm done. We got a lot of things to do for Christmas. Where we can all reach out right now and do what we can do is with these families that God has given us. God brought them into our lives. We have a chance as a church to love them, to take care of them, and to be everything to them that they need right now. And I'm not talking about supplying Christmas. Can you imagine what it must be like to be a single mother, to have no husband in your life that gives nothing to the kids? And I don't care what mistakes she's made in life. I don't care about that. Show me anybody in here that hadn't made mistakes in their life. Give me a break. I don't care. I don't care what she's done. I don't care how she's got herself in this situation. I just know she's open to the gospel and the Word of God right now, and God gave us the play up the middle. We're going to run the play. Can you imagine what it must be like to have a baby, a young kid in the hospital 24/7, and you got three other kids living out of a suitcase in a Ronald McDonald place where nothing is your family, but no family's here? Can you understand that? There's no ladies here that'll say, well, I'll go down and teach her the Bible once a week. Is there nobody here that'll say, hey, you know what? I'll go pick her up. I'll spend time with her. I'll be an encouragement. That's all it takes. My God, folks, you don't have to know all the books in the Bible in order. You just got to have a heart. But you got to be faithful. See? I got this couple over here that's got problems. I know why they got the problem in depression. Man, I'll tell you what. I can fix depression just like that. You give me the people. And I know. And I know that out of this thing, you know, they're going to come to me and they're going to say, hey, you know what? Can we come in to see you? And I'm going to say, you betcha you can. Then what do I do? Is there anybody here that's been here three years now can show me the first case of bipolar in the Bible? Anybody? Anybody here that can take me and show me somebody says, well, I don't feel like I want to commit suicide. Oh, yeah, you want to help with that? There's seven suicides in the Bible. Can anybody run me through them and show me how they all tie together and show you why people commit suicide? No, probably not. No. But you're going to help me? What are you going to do? Fill my car up with gas while I'm working with them? Run the dogs out for me? I need more than that. I need some of you to start picking up this load and start saying, hey, I'll learn this. I'll get into this. I'll get this. And I can't wait around till I teach a class on it. You got to be digging it in there. You got to be going after this thing because you ought to know that the end result is I want to give everything I got to the Lord, and I want to be used in His hands to touch people's lives. It's the only reason why I'm here this morning, and the reason why I meet with you every week. Not just so you can learn your Bible, so you can do something with the Bible you learn. Because I told you, started out, you won't get to the place in your spiritual life where you get there by reading your Bible, and you won't get there by coming to church. You get to the spiritual place in your life by coming to church and doing and using what God has given to you, and then you learn how to do it by taking the Word of God and not just reading it, but applying what you read and changing your life and putting it in line with those principles. That's where we're at. So let's go to work on this thing. And I don't expect it from everybody. I thank God for the group of young ones that God's given me. Well, I'll tell you what, some of you young ones coming in here, man, you just, wow, you're gold, man. I see in you, boy, a fire and a zeal to learn that book that I just haven't seen in a long time. And it's encouraging to me. And I don't want to dispel doom this morning. I'm not walking around saying, oh, I think things are going absolutely great. But you know what? We can't ever be satisfied with where we're at spiritually. Not as a church, not as a pastor, not as individuals. Because the day we do, then we just become dead like everybody else. And we start just living and rolling in our own glory. And that ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You have to be lean and mean when it comes to the ministry, and you have to be able to do what's got to be done and turn on a dime and give 9 cents change and accomplish the mission, whatever it may be. And you ought to be, my goal down the line is to have 40 or 50 of you, no matter what the circumstances are, I could give it to you, and I don't even have to think twice about it. I don't even have to worry about if you're going to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. You're going to do it exactly the way I know it needs to be done because you're doing it the same way I do it. You're doing it like Bob does it? Yeah, by biblical principles. That's right. Well, pray about it, folks. I love you to death. Got a lot of things coming up this month. I know it's a busy time of year, but we got to reach out and touch these people's lives. And God has given us some great things. It's just my advice to you would be this. Sort it out. Take it one thing at a time. First thing we got to do is get those presents wrapped. The second thing we got to do is get out there and make Christmas morning. All the people that are coming, we need to make this a special thing. In fact, you know what? Where's they're out counting. You guys can hear me behind the curtain back there. Jason and Chris. Hey, next week or next or Christmas morning, let's see if we can get that back room that's got the Christmas tree in it and try to make the place a little Christmassy. Hello? I'll work it out with them later. I feel really stupid talking to a curtain anyhow. Some of you think I'm back at the Old Testament in the Holy of Holies. I don't think the veil had a lock on it, do you? I don't think so either. Hey, I love you. A lot done. But let me just tell you this. Leave you with this. Too much is given. Much is required. He died for you and me. And anything less than our best is wrong. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. We love you so much. Thank you.